All right, I think we'll go ahead and get started. Looks like we have a pretty full room and schedule, so call the meeting to order. We start with public comment first. We wanted to change public comment a little bit because we realized that we weren't capturing anyone's voices back there. They weren't on our microphone. So when we are for public record and listening to the recordings, we want to be able to hear what you guys are saying. So again, public comment is 3 minutes, and I have the sign-in list. Is there anyone who wanted to comment that didn't sign in? Nope, we're good? Okay, so when I call your name, go ahead and come on up to this magical chair right here and let us know what's on your mind. So Anita, looks like you're first.
Hello, my name is Anita Will, and I'm a site leader for Whipple Creek Regional Park and the Whipple Creek Restoration Committee. And I have a couple of questions. We have some needs at Whipple Creek Regional Park because our usage has came up from 54,000 to well over 76,000 people in a year's time. And our parking has become very, very tight, especially for the horse trailers, and we are having some issues with people not understanding about leaving space around the trailers for people to come back and be able to leave with their trailers. They have to be able to load their horses, tie them to the side, and et cetera. Anyway, and a lot of it is just educating the public, but that brings me to a question about the 5-acre parcel that Whipple Creek adjoins off of 179. So we are wondering what the plans are for that 5-acre site. And if we could be privy to that information, that would help us in our committee planning for work days and such like that. So anything that we can do to help, we're here and we'd like to know what's going on. Signage at the parking area that's existing would help. We do have a small sign that says vehicles one direction and trailers another direction, but in essence, there's just not enough room. So people kind of spread out, when, especially on weekends. So it gets very, very busy. The other option that I've kicked around a little bit in my head and talking to the Parks Department before, County Parks, was the trail crossing on 11th. There is a stable that owns some ground that actually has a trail already there for their people that use that belong to the stable and have liability releases. So maybe could we talk to them about an easement, if possible? If not, then can we possibly think about a sidewalk in front of the house to the north of the stable? They just added a new fence, and if there was a sidewalk there, it would be easier to build a trail to the sidewalk and then go in front of the home and then cross the street. With the addition of some bumps on the road and maybe a crosswalk, some signage. There's already a horse crossing sign there, but that would relieve a lot of the parking issues because people that are hiking and bicycle riding at least could come in from Fairgrounds Park, which already has facilities such as restrooms and playgrounds and everything, and parking, large parking area. And that's one way of utilizing that trail that was put in from Fairgrounds Park, which is supposed to join up with Whipple Creek. And the trail is still there. It doesn't get used as much because there's no legal crossing on 11. So I think it would behoove the parks group, whoever's in charge, to look into that and find an easy answer. It would probably be a lot less cost than putting in a large parking area, and it might give us some time until that could possibly happen. So it's kind of a band-aid thing, but it also utilizes a trail that was put in and we could work on a little bit more too for the park. I did have one other thing, and that is there a groundskeeper at Camp Wick Park along the Lewis River Trail?
No.
Does anybody know?
No.
Well, we had a horse person harassed about manure removal there, and she had cleaned up around her trailer and proceeded to leave after riding. And a person claiming to be a groundskeeper chased her down basically in a car and stopped her and complained that she had left manure on the trail and was insisting that she go back and clean it up. So this is something, him using the term groundskeeper, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't a county thing that had happened without our knowledge, and it could cause a lot of problems. Manure is different than dog excrement, and it's pretty much biodegradable.
But people don't know that.
It's very difficult for a rider to get carry a pitchfork and clean up as they ride. Sometimes it can be a long hike in, and leading the horse with a pitchfork and that is not a preference that we want to encourage, because things happen and the last thing you want is a loose horse somewhere. We can't tie up along a lot of trails because there's no tie areas that are going to be safe, and that's just something I wanted your input on. So maybe, okay, I don't know if there's
Why don't we go from there? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, why don't we talk about it after?
What was that?
Talk about it after?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. I just wanted
if it was a county employee, then
there was an incident, you know, and I didn't want anybody having issues, and if something needs to be done, then let us know.
It could have been just a very passionate volunteer. I don't know.
And real quick question, did we close on that 5-acre parcel yet?
It's 1 acre.
Oh.
We're just in the beginning stages.
That's that one, that's that cutout one. Yeah. Why did I think it was 5?
I'm not sure.
Is that the one you're talking about? We're buying a parcel, but it's 1 acre, not 5.
Oh, I thought it was 5.
Okay.
So 1 acre.
It's 1.
179.
Yeah.
I didn't know which one it was exactly, so.
Okay.
I just wondered what the plans were.
I don't think we have them yet because we haven't secured the property yet. So that's kind of to be continued if we're able to purchase it.
Okay. So
we'll keep you in mind.
That would be good.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Linda?
Hello, everyone. First of all, thank you guys for the work you do. Just really appreciate it. I think our park system in Clark County is amazing, and I'd like to keep it that way. I'm here to talk about the Moulton Falls Michigan Trotter Harvest, or clear cut, whatever you'd rather call it. We had a council meeting on April 2nd, and we had over 18 people testify opposing this clear cut. Unit 1 was 56 acres originally, and they have agreed to a 200-foot buffer, but many of us think that that's not enough. We would like to protect this asset in Clark County. I mean, it's important to the whole community. We even got written up in the Columbian for being the 37th most livable city in the United States, Vancouver. And one of the reasons is Molten Falls Trail. So it's really important. It's an asset. We want to keep it pristine. We want to keep it beautiful. There's a lot of people who are working on trying to protect it. DNR has agreed to put it on hold. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the Clark County Council meeting video I sent to each of you. It was a link. It's online, and it was really good to listen to all these people. We have fish people involved. We have local residents involved. We have Audubon Society, Sierra Club. All these people are working toward protecting it, and I'm hoping that the Clark County Parks Advisory Board can also stand behind that. I think it's really important. You know, there is landslide potential. Clark County produces this wonderful poster called Landslide Hazard Area for Clark County. I have grown up the Michigan broader area, and you can see that the cut will be in this pink, which is a landslide hazard area. A landslide has happened here in the past, and that's why they are worried about it. It's on talus rock, basically, so it's lost. And we're worried that a 200-foot buffer is not going to protect the trail. It's going to come down. The East Fork of Lewis River is a wild salmon river. I don't know much about fishing, but the fishing community wants to protect it. Millions of dollars have been spent on creating a habitat for them, these wild steelhead, and they want to make sure that that continues. Any amount of debris that came off that hillside and went into the river would, you know, potentially hurt their bodies. You know, I just want to open it up to you. If you have any questions for me, we have DNR on having it on pause right now, which is very helpful. So now comes the funding piece of it. I am working on many different avenues, one of them being recreation and conservation. Recreation and Conservation gave Clark County funds to purchase the triangle that's in that unit right now. You guys own this triangle that sits in the middle of it. And so they know what the recreational value is of this area. And I think they would be willing to give us a grant to purchase the remaining 30 acres. It's a possibility.
The remaining how many acres?
It's 30 is what's remaining. We don't know about the 200-foot buffer yet. It's still in legislation being voted on. So I just want to make sure you guys are aware of where we are, and I'm just asking you to help support keeping this asset, keeping it intact, and keeping it beautiful for all the residents of Clark County.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
I did watch the council or commission meeting, I guess. And at the end, they had said that they're going to have a workshop, and they had requested DNR to be there.
Yes.
Do we know if that's happening?
That happened last Wednesday.
It did? Okay.
And it went really well, I think. DNR has to hear from Clark County that they want to protect it, and they want this land. And they finally heard that. And I think that they said, you know, that just changes everything. Just by having Clark County say, we really want to protect this asset. It's important to
okay.
us.
And last year you had sent in a letter that friends of the East Fork of the Lewis had sent to DNR requesting geotech studies and other information. Mm-hmm. Did you receive any response from DNR on that?
DNR did a geological survey, and I can share it with anybody who's interested
I'd
in
like
it. I can get your email and I'll send it to you. We were a little surprised that there wasn't a lot of technical pieces to it. Mary McDonald from the Department of Natural Resources came down Wednesday for this meeting, and then she met a few people, Richard, who wrote that report on the trail. And they took her up into the hillside and they said, Mary, this is a slumping tree. This is what it looks like. And she agreed. She's like, yes, this is a slump, which is a sign of a potential landslide. She saw the rock falling, she saw the trees leaning, and so I think it gave her a little pause. You know, they said they they really, you know, explained to her what all of these things mean, and she saw pictures of it. She saw it firsthand, so I'm hoping that that will help our cause.
That's all I got.
Okay.
I thought we had received a report back saying that it was solid rock, that it really wasn't a landslide.
We provided the geologic hazard memo that DNR drew up for that timber sale. And then
DNR's original was saying, no, it's not a hazard. So now DNR's coming back and met with you and saying...
No, not really. It's not anything to do with the geological piece. That comes in forest practices. As soon as it hits forest practices, then we're going to be able to talk about the landslide piece of it. I'm saying that the DNR's geological report was not thorough enough. I personally think that. The Friends of the East Fork of the Lewis River, Richard Dryland, I think you guys all know him, wrote a 27-page report, and it went into soils, it went into the rocks, it went into the sloping and the leaning trees, and it took pictures of everything, and it was so thorough, but they are not recognizing it because he's a hydrologist and not a geologist. So we are right now trying to hire another geologist to have a second opinion. I think
so
Mark Cummings...
So you guys that hired him to do the 27 report?
No, he's just an advocate for trying to protect this area. Yeah. You know, he runs the Friends of the East Fork of the Lewis River, and they have spent so much time trying to get that wild steelhead run up there. Millions of dollars Clark County has put toward creating this wild steelhead river, and he wants to protect it.
But DNR put the harvest on hold.
Yes. It is on pause, they call it. How long that will be, I do not know. I am going up to Olympia in May with a group of us, and we're going to discuss again the options. It's just the importance of Clark County being able to say, we see that it's an asset, we would like to protect it.
That's He's got the map on here. Can we see where that triangle is that you're
you
talking about?
You see that triangle right there?
Is that it, right there?
Yep,
right there.
That's it right there.
So Recreation and Conservation gave Clark County money to buy that triangle because they realized that it's a recreational asset many years ago, long time ago. So I'm thinking that if they did this in the beginning, that they would be willing to grant us money to protect the rest of the 30 acres.
All right. Thanks, Linda.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all. I'm Katie Kennedy. I'm with the Clark County Executive Forest Council. And we've been coming in waiting for the discussions at this forum about Daybreak Park development. I think we talked last time and that was supposedly going to be on this agenda. I think you had told us last month, but I know things changed.
We're a little in transition.
Sure.
Bill has gone, like...
Okay. Yeah, and I know, and I called Patrick Lee earlier this week, and he hadn't phoned me back. But anyway, that's what we were hoping would be on the agenda. I do want to let you know, however, that Clark County Executive Forest Council has adopted Daybreak Park. We are actually having our first cleanup tomorrow at 1. And we've also set up, Jillian Barrows is sort of leading this initiative. She has set up a poll for the Daybreak Park equestrians to get some more information about, because the original plan was developed a number of years ago, what are the priorities for the equestrians for that piece of it as far as, you know, the trail loop development, obstacles, covered arena, that was all in the original plan. Are those still things that the equestrians are interested in today? Probably the two things that are really priorities for us as this progresses is about the timeline for development, which I think is going to have to come from Patrick Lee. Is that really?
I can give you an update.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just entered into contract with a consulting firm to do some of the design and permitting work. Clark County Engineering and Construction Division within Public Works is also helping manage the project and move it forward. So some of the engineering design work will happen in-house, and then some of the work for the landscape architecture and some of the permitting will happen with the consultant's help. So we're really just getting started on the project. So we have the grant from the state, and I believe the grant requires that construction be done by the middle of 2021. So we're really targeting getting it out to bid next year and getting construction done. And so, you know, there'll be opportunities along the way for the public to be involved in seeing what is being designed and providing input.
Great.
Getting your thoughts to us. Yes.
That's exactly what we're looking for.
Yes.
Okay. And also the other thing is with the adoption of the park, we're looking forward. We need to set, I think, a meeting with you.
Okay.
Discuss some of the fundraising and setting up accounts. As part of that. So it'll probably be Jillian Burrows that will lead that. But that will probably be another step that the adoption process.
So, Kevin, in terms of public participation, are you thinking like open house style?
I believe so. I believe that's the plan.
I would say that would probably
say
be the most. Having an open house when design concepts to really get this group
yes.
Their opinions, their vision, I think is going to be the most.
Yeah. And this project is a little bit different than our typical park design project where we'll come up with different concepts and then have the public look at those and give us input and try to adjust the design based on what we hear. Because this is a grant and it's the concept for Daybreak Park that was previously developed, and we're just doing phase one improvements, which is really just the trail along the river and an overlook and some other amenities. There's not a lot of wiggle room with the grant in terms of what we can and can't deliver. So we have to deliver what we said we were going to deliver in the grant, but I think there's some flexibility in the locations for things, the way it looks, how the overlook is positioned, and things like that. So,
but the overall master plan, as of today, is the same as it was.
Absolutely. Yeah. Same as it was when, yeah.
So.
It's really about the resources to move forward with development.
With each part.
Yes. 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 Yes.
So the grand vision is still the same.
Yep.
Okay. Who are you contracting with to do design work?
The design work is PBS, Engineering and Environmental.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay. Roll call. Who wants to start?
I'm here.
Good. John, you can start.
John Spencer, Pab.
Dave Weston, Pab.
Kevin Tyler, Clark County.
Kelsey Potter, Pab.
Jay Chester, Pab.
Barbara Anderson, Pab.
Kelly Putney, Pab.
Kale Pyland, Evergreen School District.
Diane Redju, Parks Foundation. We're outnumbered.
Your friendly reminder to turn your volunteer hours into Karen in whatever method you like doing so. Megan, you want to talk, or Megan or Diane, the Parks Foundation lunch?
Oh, of course. Of course, plug. The lunch is coming up on May 14th. Of course, we would love to have you come as sponsors for the event, but if nothing else, please buy tickets and come. And, you know, the overall goal, of course, is to raise money for all of these things that people are looking to help support over the years. And we have our award winners, the Wager Award winners this year. Your own Laura Hogart is a winner this year.
Yay!
Jerry Atchison and Cassie Marshall from Chemist and Aaron Beck from Novice. So they are our award winners this year, so that's pretty fun to go out and surprise them. And Laura was on vacation and I didn't know it. Darn. But that's okay. And then we'll award the grants that we have for this year. And we are having posters in the lobby this year to let people know of the things that the Parks Foundation does, because I think that's the biggest question I get is, well, what do you do? So we have pictures in the lobby, and we have the gal from Camp Hope coming to stand by hers, and Brandon from Crestline is going to come and stand next to the GSEC, and I'm going to try and get a picture of the Lewis Park Trail, and we have others that are going to be out in the lobby so people can go over and ask questions of people and try and, you know, encourage them to make donations so we can help support all these programs that are coming up. So, yeah, come. It'll be fun. And, yeah,
great.
My first luncheon, and, you know, I'd like to see it full.
No pressure.
So, Kevin, last year Bill bought a table for the group.
I think Megan was just going to address that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I bought my ticket last year before I knew.
So PAP has a table, and what I need to hear from you guys is who's going to RSVP. So a calendar invite's been sent out. I know several of you have responded, but if you could look at your calendars and give us a definitive yes or no, that way we can confirm the attendance.
And let me know.
And let Dallin know.
Yeah. So.
Can we just go around right now and see who's going?
You can do that, certainly. That's the easiest.
I won't be in town, so I'll have to plan on this one.
Yeah. You can Skype in.
I will be there.
You'll be there.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I've responded on the email. Yep. I'm good.
I'll be there.
Okay. Yep. You're there.
I'm glad you're all coming.
Next week.
I'm about to check. I think I'm not on the earliest.
Okay, awesome. City of Vancouver proposal. Monica is here to talk to us. I'm going to get some water. She's not raising her way.
Hello. Do you mind coordinating for me just so I can maybe
do it?
I'll just wait for something. So good afternoon. I'm Monica Tubbaville with the City Parks Department. I think I know all of you, and I just appreciate your time today. As you may know, the city is considering multiple amendments to our Park Impact Fee program, one of which is this park service area overlay amendment. So the details of the why and the implementation of that will be the focus of the conversation. So if I may, I'll just give a brief background. I think we're all aware of the growing population that we are called to serve and the increased residential densities in our various jurisdictions, and the declining land options that we have for acquisition, declining resources, and the City of Vancouver is not alone in the challenges. I'm sure that Clark County is facing the same difficulties. We have significant deficits in the city, and we refer to those as our service area gaps, which I'll talk about a little bit more here. And what we have found is that there is a concentration of these service area gaps along our city boundary. I spent a good share of my career working for the county, and as well as Vancouver Clark Parks and the City of Vancouver. So, like you, I think we're pretty oblivious to where that line of jurisdiction is that we are serving the best interest of the public. So, the benefits of this amendment that we'll be talking about is it's truly just to get back to encouraging interagency partnerships and leveraging public resources, which is the foundation of what we do, and it's to serve the best interest of the public. It has no relationship to annexation or any pending annexation or any backdoor conversations. It also has, there's no intention to compete for resources or duplicate service. It's really just to do what is best to serve the public. So over the last several years, I've personally faced repeated challenges in trying to locate suitable, if not quality, parkland to serve in particular East Vancouver. And to be honest, I was taunted a bit on many occasions of quality sites that were just on the other side of that line. So the purpose of this amendment is, as it's written right there, that when there are not reasonable alternatives available in the city to meet the deficits, that we would have the option in certain circumstances to use our park impact fees outside the city limits within specified areas, which we're calling park overlay service areas. This map represents, hardly noticeable, it is a pink city boundary. The urban growth area is the outer line in brown. And then the city's park impact fee districts are A, B, and C, and superimposed there are the original 10 park impact fee districts. If I may just make a side note that the way we adopted our park impact or our districts is we just merged the districts into three so that we could accumulate funds more quickly and spend them more efficiently. But upon annexation, again, nothing is intended here in the foreseeable future at all. But if upon annexation, those boundaries automatically change, only so that there's no need for an amendment. Park impact fees for the city are only collected within city limits, but our districts actually go beyond on paper. So the point of this is that the green areas there represent a half-mile service area around all city parks, whether they're built or not. And the gray areas represent areas that are totally unserved. So if I can have you notice how many of those are near city boundary lines. So the next slide. So in order for us to take advantage of this concept of the overlay service areas, there are three steps that the city would take. First, we would establish this service area overlay, which requires an amendment to our city code. We would need to make amendments to our PIF technical document so that we specify where those service area overlays are and when we can use this provision. And then the ultimate piece would be just having an interlocal agreement with adjoining jurisdictions. It's a legalese of calling it that, but it's really just an interlocal agreement of an MOU of an understanding of what the city is doing and asking for partnerships. So I'll go through each one of these individually. I don't want to get into the specifics. This is city code, which is irrelevant for you, but this is the first step for us. The city code already has this overlay service area provision, but it's only used by transportation. County code has very similar language. So the point number two there is it actually codifies a practice we already do, that if we have a park or an acquisition that is serving more than one district, we pool our funds from one district as well as the other. We already do it. I assume you probably do it as well. And it just makes it more official to put it in the code. The third point allows us to use the park impact fees outside the city limits if it does actually serve our existing park districts. So the second amendment for the city would be to amend our fifth technical document. And that would include the creation of a map of where those overlays are and the criteria of when we should do this. So this is the same map we just looked at, and it's encircling those gaps that I talked about, those gray areas. So this is to represent where we can do this. It is specifically targeting project areas that are in our capital facilities plan rather than just anywhere along the boundary. So these are specifically targeted for capital facilities projects, but we're purposely overlapping them as much as we could get away with, just because I'm sure you're aware that when you're trying to buy a piece of property, you never know where it's really going to end up being. So we overlap them. The city's community parks have a 3-mile service area, so the intention here is that if we were to buy or build a community park on that within that area, it would never be more than half of that, or just half the service area radius of a community park. in the event we would do the same with a neighborhood park, it would never be more than a half mile. So that is the extent of those. Next slide. The next component would be the criteria of when we could do this. And again, this is also just what we already do in the acquisition or development of a property. It's just being very specific so the boxes can be checked if we exercise that. So is there a system deficit? Will the proposed project actually meet the needs of the area? Is there a lack of reasonable alternatives within the city? Does it align with our capital facilities plan? Is the benefit equal to or greater than what we can find within the city? And have we explored partnership opportunities as well as grants for the proposed project? And then the final piece would be this cross-boundary agreement or interlocal agreement that would involve conversations with you folks, as well as the city of Camas as the adjoining jurisdiction, and trying to find mutual benefit in the projects that are selected and pursued. In the agreement, the city would take the lead for this, meeting the needs of our, or where our deficits are. If the county was interested in pursuing a specific project that would be jointly funded, for example, that would be your option. It is not ever intended to be a requirement, but we would enter into a specific project agreement if that were to happen. What we ask in the agreement is that the jurisdictions would consider doing the same, meaning that you would consider adopting overlay service areas and aligning your projects that you see that are important in your capital facilities plan. And so those are the specifics of the agreement. I know that you have discussed the agreement, and the agreement has not changed since it was provided to you several months ago.
So on the TIF fees, I think I heard you say that the TIF fee boundary would stay the same even though there's an overlay now. You only collect in
Correct.
The city?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we only collect.
That's different than what we were discussing last month, right?
Okay. Yes, the city is only using our impact fees unless the county... I mean, if there's a project that is on the boundary,
right.
Let's talk about Fenton as an example. If, because it's serving the county as much as it's serving the city, and you had the resources and the interest, we could enter into a project-specific agreement and we could pool funds. We could leverage it for a grant. We could do whatever we can.
What about TIF or PIF collection, though? Not spending the PIF?
No, there are no city fees charged within those overlays. We don't have the authority to do that or the desire.
It just allows you the flexibility to spend money outside of city limits.
Correct.
But not collect money.
Correct.
Is that money limited to just building the parks, purchasing the land?
Yes. That's all TIF can be used for.
Do you have a joint development and acquisition TIF fund?
We do.
And do you still have money left in the separate, like the...
No, they were merged. RCW's North City Code require that they be actual separate money. They can be separate accounts, but they can be pulled together. So our next step is the City of Vancouver. We have met with our advisory commission, and we have their endorsement to proceed. We are meeting with you as well as the City of Camas. Trying to seek that mutual benefit. Sorry, Jeremy, could you do the next slide for me?
So, Monica, I'm just curious, isn't it within the state code that requires PIF dollars be expended in the district they were collected?
Yes.
And how does this affect that requirement if you have collected the PIF, say, in District 5 and you're, I think above it was 7, I don't know.
It is.
it was expended in that area.
So if the monies were collected in, I'll call them the old districts, so the original mm-hmm. districts, the old money is spent in the old district. And then once we created the A, B, and C, then we're, any money collected within A, B, and C can spend, be spent.
Yeah, but in the overlay, in it's actually out in our district, say.
That's the purpose of this, is that we could spend within those overlay areas, adjoining C, for example, we could spend them along that fringe within those overlays.
So I'm thinking the state law probably says that if you collect the taxes within a district, you must spend them to benefit that district.
Correct. Okay, to benefit. And so as the people that are benefiting are in that district. Okay.
Right. So if we purchased...
You know the verbiage better than me.
If we purchased a community park on that fringe, and it's a 3-mile service area, a mile and a half of that is within the city.
Okay.
And thus a mile and a half is in an adjoining jurisdiction, thus an opportunity for a partnership, but not a requirement.
Sure.
I'm just glad to see the county and the city dating again.
I am too. I've never given up. So, as far as our next steps, we have met with our Parks Advisory Commission and have their endorsement to move forward. We have had a workshop with our city council on this amendment as well as several others. And then our next steps would be to continue our outreach to the stakeholders on this as well as the other amendments. We have a workshop with our Planning Commission on May 14th, and then we hope to have this amendment and the agreements in place, if possible, by the fall of this year, so we can proceed. There are some key acquisitions that we're interested in that are time sensitive, so this is the priority for us of the four amendments that we're pursuing. So I'm happy to answer any questions. I do have, the request I have of you, if you don't mind going to the next slide, is whether in today's meeting or future ones, if you would like to have more deliberations, is to request that you make a recommendation to your council for entering into a cross-boundary service area agreement, and then consider the additional amendments.
So is there a opportunity to take a step farther and say, hey, if there's a park on our side of the border that actually already serves the residents on your side of the border, that you can just call it good?
There, if the area is served, there's no intention.
Oh, okay, so that's part of it already.
Yeah,
okay.
There. I mean, like I said, I'm ignoring the line.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's green, if it's served, it's served.
Okay.
The goal is really to just partner and leverage funds to fill those gaps for both of us.
Monica, are you aware next by 2021 we're going to be doing an updated comprehensive plan for the county?
And we will be doing the same.
You'll be doing the same.
Same time.
One of the things that I think we should be, and I'll be pushing for in that process, is that we actually do consolidate our planning process into one, because as you said, nobody understands the boundary between one and the other, and it's changing all the time.
And they don't care.
They don't care. Seems as we move into that planning process, we ought to take this a step farther and really say your position would be working in behalf of all of us, not just half of us.
Yes.
So I just want to bring that up now. That's something I'm going to be pushing hard next year when we start the comprehensive planning process. Just want to make that clear to everyone here, because I think that's the area we really can do a better job in planning together, as opposed to you taking the lead. Then I can hear our people, the county people, saying, oh, what are they doing in our land, and blah, blah, blah. And it all gets fuzzy again.
It gets fuzzy.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just making that clear.
Yeah, move from dating to engagement.
Yeah.
Moving beyond the divorce,
time or not.
Are there any other questions or
Well, there was a little bit of a snafu where we won't be able to make a motion today due to the meeting not getting publicly
proper notice.
Public notice. So I just wrote for next agenda to put this on here. So we'll probably discuss it. We'll make time to discuss it, obviously, before, and then vote on it next meeting. All good?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'd be happy to be here if you have more questions or if someone needs to call me and just follow up, whatever you prefer.
Perfect. Thank you. Does anyone have any more questions before she's done?
No, the Tiffany was the big one that I didn't like last month, so.
You're good. You're at peace.
Yeah, I'm happy now.
Okay.
There was a question in what was forwarded to me about MP funding. So that is not part of what we're talking about either. Those funds do not, that boundary does not change upon annexation, so there's no transfer of those monies at all. So
that's a maintenance issue anyways.
It is, yeah, it's just maintenance. But it was one of the questions raised.
Speaking of maintenance, if the park or if the city develops a park in the county area, the funds, who maintains that park after that point?
If it's a city park, we would maintain it. Unless we come into an agreement for some
even
sort
though
of
it's on the county, it's on the county side, it's outside your current city limits.
They would maintain it. They may be coming to us for some funds to help maintain it.
The conversation would be had, but again, there is no intention of an obligation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Good job.
You should have stubby legs like me.
Okay. Does anyone care if we move the assessors up and then just kind of delve into the C&D under new business just for so they can enjoy their Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, come on up.
Okay. So we were asked to come back through here. I'm Rebecca Barrio. Your vendor is an investor of Clark County, and Marcy Wright, she is our peer review specialist for Clark County. I'm a program coordinator. I handle social projects. We were asked to come here and try and do an update as to where we are with public benefit rating system. I've brought here in paper format, unfortunately only, is the last approved public graphic showing the transition of our programs and what we'd like to do. Talking a little bit with Kevin, he said that he had gone over some questions that he had some answers to that we may would like you guys might be interested in reviewing, but also you'd like some assistance applying ratings for your portion. So I'm sure Peter is more than happy to answer any of your questions or
In terms of, too, I guess, from the parks standpoint, really what kind of we're going to need from this group is you know, and I'm going to use, start off, three different examples. A three-floor park, Royal Oaks, versus, let's say, the Washington Watercross, right? Each of those right now is in some form of open space, but the type of access that they afford to the public is different, right? HB4 Park, they give us land, public can come on as they wish and utilize it. Or Royal Oaks is a private golf course, right? It's got members only that can come in and utilize that park versus you have something like the Washington Watercross where the public is welcome to come into utilize different events. All of those are recreation areas, right? And all of them can some way currently sit in open space and therefore kind of have the same tax treatment. I think everyone would probably agree that HB4, something like HB4 where they give them complete access is a lot different than something like Royal Oaks where it's for members only. So in the public benefit rating system, we really want to try and get to where we're treating different organizations and different things based upon really the benefit that they're trying to provide the general public. Also, you may have some situations where you want to clear some trails, so some corporations may have land that you want to put park trails through, or they may actually have existing trails on some of their campuses, and you may want to open those up to the public and really give people options. So, you know, like Nautilus or something right now, they have courts and something here for their employees, and I don't know if they provide public access to them or not, but you know, there could be other situations like that where we could do a situation with public information systems for that area that you're opening up for public recreation. Maybe it's limited public access, and you know, maybe considering, like, say, again, HB4 versus Alderbrook Park, right, where you come in. And so there's just a lot of different levels of public welcome that are, you know, doing. So that's kind of what we would need from the, you know, this board, is really where you kind of think those different priorities, where they sit, how much emphasis do you want to give to different between Royal Oaks and HB, you know, Floor Park, in terms of direction back to the county council when they consider the program itself. So I don't know if that clarifies anything.
No, it helps a lot. Background.
I mean, I think where we had kind of settled, and I don't want to speak for everyone, so chirp up, was we don't really want to, like I was telling you, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. So if you guys, you know, it sounds like King County may have a sort of rating system that aligns or is working better than other county systems. I personally would kind of want to just not exactly copy it, but maybe base most of our ratings based on King County, if that's what you guys think is. I mean, this is way more, I mean, yes, we have some expertise in this, but this is very into the trenches of what you guys do. Well, and so I would kind of want to defer to your opinions on what do you think is the best fit for Clark County.
Well, like I said, that's kind of what we're asking is, because HB4, let's just say, we say they should get 90% off their taxes for providing complete public access. Maybe as a group, you think, hey, Royal Oaks, it's great right now, they're getting the same tax treatment, but because they're a member only, maybe say, well, that should only be like a 10%.
What's a comparable, like, what does King County do in a situation like you described? What is their discrepancy between those? Well,
we have the grid, and yeah, we've looked at it several times. I don't have it with me right now today, but we can certainly provide that again. And I don't know percentage per percentage for those specific examples.
But I'm sure they're rating it kind of like you said. Like,
it depends on how they viewed it as a public benefit. It really does. And it may change. These aren't set in stone. We can certainly adjust them as the climate changes and as our interest changes in the county. Mm-hmm. But until we get those initial ratings on the paper, we can't apply them to our example properties, and we can't provide the narrative to the other entities like our UGAs and everybody else in the public to really show them what it would do for Clark County, so that the council can make a decision on whether or not it's the right path for us. Because we don't have to have one, but we certainly like to try. And in turn, it will give us more flexibility, hopefully, with what we want to accomplish.
See, because, I mean, without your guidance, it comes back to, I just say something like, oh, well, I think HB4 are 90%, Royal Oaks 20%. There you go. Where did that come from?
Oh, I liked your 10% for Royal Oaks.
Yeah.
They're profit-based and private.
Private, yeah.
Let's remember, we don't want to be in the golf business as a park, though. We need golf courses.
Yeah.
So that's the feedback that we kind of need. I mean, just getting something on paper, let's just do that. I mean, that's right. What we're going for.
So last time we were here, we presented to you all of the categories that were related to Clark County parks and lands and conservation futures and things of that nature. And we had some suggestions about how they could be rated. And it really did mimic a lot of what King County has done. And we pulled in some other examples of things that we feel would be valuable. So I think if we could get your opinions on, did we nail it? Were there categories missing? And then
should we do
high,
like
medium,
we
low,
like the legacy land?
Yeah,
so the
I was
project
about to make
where
that
we
same
do the ranking. Yeah. Like we spent almost a whole meeting on that,
yeah.
Right? It took like 2.5 hours. Do we need to convene like a special meeting just to get this done? What's your timeline for us?
We are pushing our timeline.
Okay,
so we would really like to start getting something prepared for the council just to get their okay to keep moving forward.
That, or we could just send out a survey to us to say rank them and make
that's
them keen.
That's true too, and probably more time efficient for our group.
Although I do think we need to take time after that ranking in a meeting.
To discuss, yeah.
For discussion.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, we all have our limitations.
Agreed.
And so sharing knowledge, I find, is always good.
So maybe the hybrid is to send out the information to each one of those individually, let us rank them, and then you come to the meeting ready to discuss.
Yeah.
I won't use the word defend, but ready to discuss your ranking.
Yeah.
And we could maybe having the King County's example percentage there, so you can look and see what they did.
That would be good to have an example.
I think that's already in the table.
Yeah, I
recall
it.
And so, I mean, if you have discussions like, you said, well, if you don't think they should get any, well, they probably have some soil issues right there as why they're in now. So they're probably going to continue, but you may sit there and say, hey, young, you don't give any public access at all. It's great that you're out for recreation.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you get,
we'll
give you 5% off.
They get drains.
Yeah.
They have drains.
But we're not going to give you the same range that we're going to give someone like you before that's turning over a huge portion of land. So
well, I think there's some environmental issues too, though. You know, you have that big open space right in the middle of that.
Okay.
It was a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And those particular
not that I'm defending Royal Oak.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that those things would be measured separately, right? Because they do have some environmental stuff. So
the average
they would get
really
discounts on the public information system for
that.
Then for the recreation, it's worth saying because they're completely private.
Right.
And you don't want them.
I just, you know, with all the climate change that's going on, I think it's more and more important to make sure that we have open spaces as many places as we possibly can, and disincentivizing somebody like Royal Oaks. Like I said, I'm not defending Royal Oaks at all, but to get rid of that open space is a bad idea. We, with all of the information on TV and all of the iceberg loss and everything else, I mean, the more that we can have open space and all of the things that help promote environmental cleanliness, the better off we are. Again, I'm not supporting Royal Oaks. I'm just commenting that I think it's important to have as much open space as possible.
So you don't think Exxon's going to save us?
No, I don't.
Well, here's the thing.
We can't apply
them to properties to show you what your numbers do.
Okay.
So then we can show you what the numbers will do, and then you guys can go, oh, no, we didn't think that's what we were doing. Let us revise. The numbers you provide us are a jumping off point for us, not a, this is what we're going to present to the public, this is exactly how it's going to go.
Yeah,
we can't make any changes.
We just wanted you to review at least the King County numbers and go, that makes sense, or that doesn't make sense. Let's go a little bit
higher. And we can do that. I think we can do that again if we got the information out to each of us and kind of went back through it and had a meeting. I do agree we need to have a discussion on a separate and with a focused effort. We can't really hear this
meeting of just this issue.
Yeah.
Like, can you tell me how much involvement the state has in this? Because I'm involved with this issue right now on the Jane Webber Evergreen Arboretum as we transfer from Clark College to a nonprofit, and we found out that we can't even apply for the thing until after it's done, and it's a really awkward situation to suddenly find out that you might be taxed on something that you didn't expect. The state seems to be having a big part of this, so how much involvement are you finding from the state on this issue?
Well, I mean, it's public method rating system is looked at and developed under state law. So it is part of it, you know, it's part
so
of
they the really have ways, yeah. The bigger picture.
Well, yeah, except that we may give the counties the option to do it. Like I said, currently, anyone that's in open space is being taxed the same as if, you know, they were in doing farm and A. And depending, you know, when you say it's taking out the land of Royal Oaks, just the access that they provide is different than the access HB4, which is a different benefit to the public. So that's the purpose of getting all these things in line with, you know, really what benefit you're doing. Because I think everyone would say a private golf course shouldn't get the same tax benefit as something that's just saying, here, use our land as a park. And in essence, that's kind of what happens at this point.
So logistically moving forward, this might be a question for the board. If we do like an interim, if we do the survey online, then we get together to discuss and we get a ranking to you. We don't need to make a motion on it because this is just our starting off numbers for you. Then you'll come back, show us what that looks like. We either say yes, we like the ranking, or no, we want to adjust it. Then we would make a motion to send it to on its merry way. So we wouldn't need to publicly advertise our little
workshop
essentially.
Right.
No.
Right.
Okay.
So we advertise on our site once we get everything set.
So in your ideal world, when do we have these numbers back to you? Or this ranking?
Tomorrow.
Yesterday. Sorry, things have been fucked here. I'm sorry.
We had originally hoped to present June or July to the council, but it doesn't seem like, I mean, we're pushing July.
Okay. So I'll send out like a little doodle poll this week to try to get people. And if not everyone can come, that's great. But I would say at least a minimum of 3-4 of us.
We need a quorum.
Yeah, okay.
Can we have kind of the bullet points of discussion? So if we
I will send out the table that shows what we've put together to this point.
Yeah.
It's all of the different categories, what they mean, how we think that they're ranked, and that's kind of a high, medium, low scale. And then it also includes the King County version and what they rank it as. Yeah. And theirs is a point system. It's like 5 or 10 or 25. So, and then you guys can look at it and say, yeah, we agree this is a high priority and we think it should be 25 points or whatever.
Okay. And I don't want, no offense, I just don't have the time to literally type all of that into a survey form. I'm sorry, yeah, that would take hours and I'm not doing it.
No, I think it was
so
an Excel, wasn't it?
If you can't make the meeting and you want your input known, somehow scan, like print off and scan that sheet to me with your rankings handwritten on it. Or
wasn't it an Excel spreadsheet?
It is. What I can do is I'll include a
column.
And you can put your information in the comments column.
But what you're going to get out of this is going to be 40 pages long, right?
No.
No,
so you see my
pages.
Point. I'm not going to go through 40 pages.
If I remember it right, though, it was pretty wide.
Yeah.
And real tiny, and I had to blow it up.
Yeah.
Specific areas that
you're only
getting
the
and I'm not including everything. It's just what's specific to parks and like.
Yeah, because historic is on there, and also critical habitat, which is
you won't see historic, and you won't see.
We won't see historic.
No.
Okay, in a perfect world, we'll try to get it done by next Friday. Do you think that's achievable? Since we kind of dropped the ball on it, obviously. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll send out, we'll try to get it to you. We'll try to at least have the meeting done Friday, and then I'll try to get the info to like Kevin over the weekend to pass on to you guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, there was.
You're fine. I mean, we have historic is also working on, they want to go back to the drawing boards with their categories.
So let's just beat them, guys.
They kind of looked at it differently, and they're like, we need to condense and simplify. And I think that's where we need to have these conversations are great because you go down in the weeds and then you realize, okay,
Yeah, we didn't need to go that far. And here, let's make it a little more digestible by the public and everybody who,
if you have any possibility, you'll get that out today.
I can do that.
Yeah. But there's 3 days next week. It's early release from school.
Oh, yeah, and I'm going out of town Friday.
So I'm hoping to find time this weekend.
Yeah,
to get
the ranking individually done.
And yeah.
Everything's falling at once.
Okay. Well, sorry again. And we will fix this as soon as we can. I'll get back to you. Okay.
And any questions? Contact.
I have one quick oddball question. Uh-huh. Have we looked at this operationally, like how big a department it will take to run this?
We are looking at it that way. We're having some really good discussions. Right now we're revamping our processes. I have asked the other groups to think about it from a, if there needs to be an ask situation for support. We talked at the OR this week. We were actually with them at a current use training Wednesday and Thursday of this week. It was a great opportunity to talk to other counties about their PPRSs and what they liked and didn't like about it. It depends. It depends on how quickly we want to roll this out. It depends on how motivated the council is. If we could go with our current staffing, it's going to take a few years.
I was going to say, I'm dealing with King County on some other stuff through my work, and they have a huge staff.
Yes, they do.
But they also have huge fees. I mean, paying for a lot of
stuff. We would have to change some of all of that. So, looking at it, it just depends on how motivated they are.
Okay.
Anything else?
Let us try not to be the roadblock.
Okay. We're
going to
excuse ourselves.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a good weekend. All right, let's circle back to unfinished business. So I started to type up ideas for the subcommittee for park standards work, and then I don't even know what these are going to look like. So I need everyone's help of what is revising park standards going to look like. Do we need more than one subcommittee for it? Is one fine? I feel like we need a staff person from Parks to be on that committee with us to tell us you can't do that, you can do that, because we don't know.
But now this is to develop the pro standards, right? I mean, that we're going into in that cycle.
It's kind of, I think, the
predecessor.
A predecessor to changing our vision of what our
I feel pretty strongly that we should have one subcommittee, only because if you have multiples, they'll step on each other.
I agree. So, Kevin, do you have someone
in
mind who could be on, who from staff who would help us with this?
Sorry, Eric.
We just showed up.
Hi, Eric.
I think Eric has the most experience of our group. Is that something that, sorry to put you on the spot, but so we're talking about innovative park design and what sort of standards go into parks and what do we want in our park facilities?
Everything.
One thing I never got from Bill and I asked before he left was he at one time had sent me the sheet, and I think it was a public works document, of this is their standards kind of, and it was a lot of it was based on maintenance. So 8-foot pavement for trails. There was some criteria.
Right.
And I never got a copy of that. Do you know? Or
we'd have to dig, but I'm sure we can find it.
Because that's a good starting point. This is our criteria.
Isn't that very recent?
I asked him a month and a half.
I saw an email from Matt Hall and had that.
Okay, because, you never got back to me on it. But.
Should it be Matt instead of Eric? He's the gentleman who came to our last meeting, right, to kind of talk about it. Would he hate that? Would he want to
be on that? I don't. You know what? Matt knows what the standards are because they have been the ones to deliver projects.
Yeah. We're looking for the vision, though.
Yeah, if we're looking at vision and what I'd want, I think I'd want somebody from the park staff to be involved in that.
Okay.
Eric or Laura?
Whether I'm assigned to it or not, I'd like to participate due to the fact that I'll be charged with the first plan.
Oh, yeah. you guys want to rock, scissors, paper for it, or just both be on it, or
talk about it?
Like disappearing.
He's hiding.
Well, background and knowledge that Eric brings is different than Laura.
Yeah.
I think Eric's got a stronger history.
Okay, well, I mean, the more the merrier.
And honestly, just to be able to pull for both of them is going to
I think they each bring a different skill set.
Yeah.
But what are we denying? Certainly. If they're doing this, so you got to be careful.
Right. Don't want to overwork them either, but maybe maybe they could rotate.
Well, and I don't expect this to be super intensive, like maybe once a month, you know, just starting to lay the groundwork for the FROS plan, not to have everything figured out and tied up in a nice little bow, but kind of, like Barbara said, a predecessor moving in that direction.
Should be close to a bow, though.
Mostly tied, one side tied. So how about what I do is I'll just send an email out to people who are interested, and then we can kind of finalize who wants to be on it and then pick our first meeting date.
You want to be on it?
Yay.
You don't.
Nay.
Sure.
Okay.
No, I don't. You know I do.
Who's interested? I mean, I guess that's the first question.
Yeah.
Everyone? No one?
Well, you know I am.
I am. I don't want to, like, chair the subcommittee, though. I'm now the co-chair of Lakeshore Elementary's new inclusive playground subcommittee. So that'll be good, too, to learn from what the school district's doing and bring that to the table. But I don't want to take on more than I can chew.
Oh, Dave does. He had the parks subcommittee.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave. You were chair of the parks subcommittee.
No, I'm 100% interested.
You're interested? Okay.
It's going to be a time thing.
Yeah.
That's how
scheduling of meetings and stuff. But yeah, I want to help.
We all have that challenge. So.
Yeah.
And I want to keep it like I said.
That's fun.
Kind of like we did
with Dave. If he's too busy, then I'll be happy to chair it. But it's only just as setting the agenda.
If you're the chair, though, you can coordinate the meetings better.
I got to get
That's
people
true.
There, though. Yeah. No. Okay. No. This.
Okay.
We have enough people, though.
So.
All right. Cool. Well, I'm excited about the possibilities. I went to this in St. George, Utah. It's called Thunder Junction. You should Google it. It's the craziest city park I've ever been in. It's all inclusive, all abilities. And they said it cost $3 million. We Googled it. I do not know how they're making parks for that. I mean, Thunder Junction in St. George, Utah. Well, that's not, it's the fastest growing city in the U.S., so it might not be
anymore.
But they have, like, a volcano that explodes every 45 minutes with a picnic shelter inside it, a train that runs on the outside, and they hire people with disabilities to come in, like, work in the park, so it's like you grow up in the park and play in the park, and then you can get offered a job in the park. It was like my dream. Like, I was crying. I just walked around the park crying. I was the only person crying there. But, like, it was literally, you know, kids in wheelchairs getting to do everything kids who aren't in wheelchairs got to do. It makes me look limp talking about it. So anyway, obviously we can't build $3 million parks with miniature railroads and volcanoes, but I feel like we can do
a lot better than we're doing.
We can do better than we're doing. In terms of
park in the middle of Salt Lake is also multi-access, and they have tennis courts, and then they have an aviary too. It's huge.
Yeah, like just thinking outside the box. Like, we do the same thing every time, and just doing something. I know that I talked at that conference to people about how expensive that surface is as opposed to the bark chips, and I know it's expensive, but we have to bite the bullet and do parts of our parks where kids with all abilities can get to the playground.
We've got that coming up in Phillida, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Phillida from the beginning did really great with that.
Oh, I know. They've been working on it for, 10 years now?
Yeah. But even there, under their main playground, they already had it. They were an innovator
in
that.
Very foresightful.
So, anyway.
Districts are putting, I don't know if Evergreen is, but Vancouver did in all their systems.
Has Evergreen done that? All the soft surface and got rid of the bark chips? I mean, that is the future.
Vancouver's
and Clark County is.
Isn't that what's in at
well, you know,
the
I just moved
downtown
into the
waterfront
big area.
Yeah,
just that soft surface stuff.
I think they said it's like $40 per square foot. I mean, it's just insane how it should not be that expensive.
It's a lot.
Don't they make it out of recycled tires?
They make it out of, like, all this stuff that shouldn't cost that much,
They used to be.
Well,
the recycled tire thing is kind of a myth now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
sounds good.
Dave, Barbara, myself, Laura, and Eric. Sweet. Again, and we'll be respectful of everyone's time. Just kind of, you know, maybe once a month, an hour or so, brainstorming, getting a foundation for what we'd like to see. So, okay, speaking of another subcommittee, which I think is officially wrapped up, hooray. I sent an email off to Eric and Steve, Barbara, and Jay, and I can send it to you guys too. It was just kind of a grand finale of these are the ideas we agree upon, these are the ideas Pab wants, these are the ideas Steve wants, and then a cover letter to the county council saying a little history of, hey, we reached out, we worked together, here's what we produced, sort of thing. Eric was doing a presentation in front of his board on it yesterday. I was going to did you go to their meeting?
I did.
Was it well received? Uh-oh, Kevin Stein.
It was a very interesting meeting. I will, as soon as I can, find the link of the audio and send it to all of you to listen. I came out of that with a lot of notes, and I'll just go through a couple of those. One star that I wrote was, people don't understand how parks funding works, so we need to do a good job of explaining that. Comments about, you know, the parks that we promised when we did the MTD levy, and this idea, this thought that parks are very well funded in Clark County. So I think we need to do a good job of explaining.
Compared to where?
What's that?
Compared to what was. I mean, during the downturn, there obviously wasn't that much.
Well, that's true. We've improved, but comparing to many other jurisdictions, I wouldn't rank us up there.
Well, you have to remember, they're just talking about impact fees and the effect of the impact fees.
So, so there was a lot of discussion about how we count things and why we count them and why we don't count them in our PROS plan.
Yeah.
And just a lot of confusion about why this isn't counted and why this is counted. And Eric did not mention at all how we currently set a goal of 60% of the national standard. So I think if we were to compare what we do count and what we don't count, if we counted everything that they think we should count, are we close to meeting the goal of the 60% of the national standard? Are we above 60%? Are we, you know, where? So those are all good messages, I think, to relay and put out there,
and
so we can tell our story.
That's a breakdown to the county council. That's PAB's only recommendation is we're not at 60%. Which is a D we've set for ourselves. We're already failing, like, in terms of how many parks we should have.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm trying to get that message.
Yeah. So at the end of the meeting, they talked about next steps. Deeb is going to also write a letter to council. They want to try to get on in front of council by themselves, we're not going arm in arm in this thing together, it didn't sound like. They want to list examples of those, why we don't count things in the PROS plan. They talked about code changes, they talked about opening the PROS plan now, they talked about PIPs being too high. So these were all just notes that I wrote down, and I think
so the olive branch snapped somewhere. I wasn't aware.
Yeah, because I thought that you and Eric agreed on the letter and the summary.
Yeah, he wrote back. It looks great.
Yeah.
And so I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm sure he got in front of his board and
he's
got a different
presentation.
Eric did present the information to the group. Yes.
And the subsequent conversations were led by
everybody in the room. So I just, you know, I don't know if we want to take the moral high road and try to attempt to reach out and present things together to council. I don't know.
I think a partnership would be nice.
I think we should at least extend that out, because our whole basis has always been to the council. We reached out and tried to do this as a partnership. If they go in on their own and ask for an audience on their own, I think we should, when that happens, we should all show up in force and say, look, we offered to do this. Here's the documentation. I think we continue on with the letter, you know, that we're trying to submit, and submit it and see if Deeb will co-sign the letter. If they don't, then, you know, we've done what we've taken the moral high ground to a point,
right?
But now we have an issue.
Yeah.
And Deeb's, you know, I won't say it's shown their position, but, you know.
Well, and that was included in the things that we didn't come to an agreement upon, is the inventory. And we talked about that. And we said we were open to counting, the city of Vancouver counts their school property as 10%.
Right.
I'm willing to have a discussion on that. That door is not closed.
A percentage of, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we did say that.
So, I mean, I feel like in terms of compromise, Parks gave way more than...
They've been used to demanding in the past. And, you know, one of the first things you learn in a management class, and why we initiated this, is you seek first to understand and then to be understood. Well, I know that I listened and I heard their concerns. I know that we compromised a great deal, but I didn't see it coming the other way, and I'm just surprised by this response.
Yeah, because it seemed all...
I thought we'd made progress.
...at our all tab, and so I'm just not clear what...
But you have one representative, and you have a group of people, maybe not even on the board, that are making their comments.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, I mean...
Uninformed.
Well, and it was mostly... The discussion was all members of Deeb.
Okay, yeah,
there,
good.
There wasn't a whole lot of peanut gallery. I mean, Laura, I personally didn't speak up, and there was one comment made by Aho, and that was it. Yeah, otherwise, it was all internal discussion with me.
There was second representative, but I think he only came to one.
Steve
made it to
two.
Steve
made it to
two.
And Steve did talk a lot.
Terry was the one that never made it to any of them. Mm-hmm. Laura, you had a thought?
Well, I just thought, since we have Monica here from the City of Vancouver, she could speak towards that 15%.
Oh, is it 15?
Yeah.
Oh, no?
She
has
more knowledge on that.
Okay.
The way our relationship with both school districts is that if we have an active agreement with them, we count the portion that is open to the public. We do not count anything across the board. So if we have an agreement that we built on their property, or they are using part of ours, we count the portion that is open to the public. And nothing that, I mean, because they have closed campuses, they are not open to the public.
And that's been my argument from day one, is school campuses are closed 9 months a year from 7 a.m. to...
So it'd be similar to Eisenhower, with the county park that's up in the front.
Right.
And then their playground and everything that's in the back is counted.
Correct. And that's just been our sticking point.
Monica, you say an agreement. You have a memorandum of understanding, again, between you and the city and the school district?
It's a site-specific agreement of who owns what, who maintains what, a certain time limitation, everything. I mean, and sadly, many of those are out of date, but they're still functioning.
But they're still functioning. There's still a precedence set with that type of agreement. But if you don't have... a written agreement for, say, school XYZ, they're not counted. See, these are the fine nuances that I think people need to, counselors, and we have to put into our PROS plan and our agreement is, you know, this is a high-level document. We agreed in concept, in my mind, to certain things. Obviously, what you saw was everybody dipping down into the some detail and getting more detail. But And so I think we need to, again, follow the path we're following so that we can all stand in front of the counselors and say, look, we reached out. This is what they did. If Deeb goes on their own road and does it, you know, goes forward,
And I have no problem standing up during public comment and saying, hey, remember, and to remind you, here's what we've done as a park. And if that's what they want to do, a public, we were trying to avoid that. We were trying to have, you know, avoid having a public squabble.
Right, and us versus them.
Yeah, us versus them. But if they're going to go off down the road, then I think we have every right to turn around and look at that. The other factor that I think is coming in here is, and I'm trying to get a handle on this, a lot of our other PAVs are reaching agreements with DEEB and developers about things like pocket parks. Some of them are agreeing to pocket parks. And we said, you know, well, how big is a pocket park? Well, I'd like to get their criteria to show what DEEB's agreed to, quite honestly, you know, in these things. Because we think of pocket park as a small piece of, say, a lot, say, size of a lot that's standard to that subdivision or that development, you know, as a pocket park. They may be agreeing to something smaller, maybe agreeing to something bigger, who knows, but without having some facts, this is all speculation. And I'd like to have that conversation with several of them, trying to get the criteria from them. So that I'd like to go in there as factually based as we can. But, you know, I mean, it's disappointing to see that, but you got to remember that was their meeting.
Right.
And right. What comes out of them with everybody signing it could be a different.
Could be different, yeah.
So. Monica, can you give us an example, one of these agreements? Like, is it like Hauk School, or can you think of something off the top of your head?
Could you send us one, a copy of one?
In fact, we have a template that we've worked through with the school district, both Vancouver and Evergreen, a template.
That would be super.
I mean, it hasn't been put into place just because they got so busy with their ballots.
Well, among the counties, I think we have an Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm. Jason Lee.
Jason Lee.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they are, as Monica said, they are dated.
Well, many of them have been 20 years, 30 years.
But still, to have one and look at it would be great to kind of better educate us about what we're looking at.
Yeah, I'll send it.
That'd be super. Thank you.
It's good to have you handy today.
Yeah. Well, that just bums me out, man. I thought that was just going to be a, yay, look at this, check, check. And now it's like, womp, womp. All right, well, maybe I thought it was finished, but to be
honestly,
continued.
I'm surprised you're showing her this early. It's interesting.
Yeah, me too. This late. Like, I thought we had wrapped the bow, man. Okay, well, again, to be continued. You know, Eric gave me the go-ahead. He said that letter looks fine. I'm just, to me, that sounds like approval to send it to the council.
Did he sign it?
No.
I think we should send it over and have him sign
it. Have him sign it.
Okay. And have you or Jay sign it. And then send it.
Okay. Well, have each member of the subcommittee sign it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want, in all of the things that we still, the whole point of this was, yes, there are still things we disagree on, but look at this big chunk of things that we came to agreement on, and I don't want that to get lost in the weeds of the things we're still stuck on. Like, I don't want that to be the focal point moving forward towards the council. I want to say, look at, we had way more things we agreed upon than disagreed upon. So I don't want to throw that baby out with the bathwater.
I think we should have it signed. I don't think we should be the one necessarily to send over the blank
focus
letter
on
saying, this is what we all agreed on.
Yeah. No, let's try to get it signed by all the subcommittee members and see if we get a stop there.
Okay. Just so fun now. All right. Oh goodness. Okay.
Moving right along.
This was just, this next section is something we were just kind of spitballing with Bill about before we left. Jay, I've talked a lot. You want to go?
It is working on developing the criteria for the PROS plan and how we open it up again. And if I remember the dates correctly, it opens on the 2020, and then we have to renew it on 2021, I believe is what it amounts to, something that kind of time frame. So we thought it'd be a good time to start putting our thoughts together, talking about, and unfortunately, a lot of this came out of the DEEB PAB subcommittee to talk about, and these are a lot of what we agreed to, is talk about how we get
this criteria, what we can add, make the PROS plan better and expand it and make it more flexible, if you will, for the future, you know, through there. So we were talking about getting some folks together, small committees, and just start outlining the information. What else?
We were also kind of just talking about how if we want to build trails in this county, we need a dedicated funding source. Mm. We don't have anything. I mean, yeah, we can use PIF funds now for trails, but PIF funds are pretty much intended to build parks. So talking about how do we create or how do we convince the county council to set aside a chunk of money that is for trails in this county. So I don't know. Tell me how we do it.
I've asked this before and never really got to an answer. So we have our parks plan for the county showing existing proposed trails. That's great. We have transportation plan that shows existing proposed collectors, arterials, all that stuff. Where, when that map shows that road going through my site, I'm building that road. When the trail's going through my site, it's like it never happened.
Yeah.
So I am curious if there, and I'm not saying that I'm pushing for this, but is there a way to get it to where there's at least dedication or building or whatever of trails that are planned? And I don't know, I mean, trail versus infrastructure for street, I get it, but I mean, honestly, I see a lot of stuff go in that once it's gone in, you're never getting that trail through those backyards.
No.
So.
No, that's true.
It's a really good concept, though.
I mean, you know, so I'd like to dig into that more on the trail side.
You know, part of that goes back to our relationship with Deeb once again.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those trails are good to go at the point that they're doing their build-out for the connectors.
And a sidewalk is not a trail.
No, that's true.
Well, it can be substituted in some arguments.
In some arguments it could be, but I mean, a lot of it is. The other thing is, and I have been reluctant to bring this up, is that we are not, Parks is not a signatory on any plats or any reviews, so we don't necessarily get, I believe, we don't get a chance to look at all the plats and all the development coming along, so vice versa, they, developers, don't see our trail plan. It's not part of the criteria.
That is not the criteria.
Yeah,
that's
not
the same. Collectors and arterials sure come up in pre-apps.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Transportation, yeah. You got to get that car moving around. But I think there's some opportunities that we might be able to leverage one against, you know, I could say leverage, but work ourselves into a situation. But that requires review. That requires the staff being involved. I mean, you know, that there's some manpower, if nothing else, implications of that.
The way we tried to handle that was to wrap ourselves in with the transportation plan for trails.
And
it worked pretty well for some years, but those things kind of slip away too. So that was the way we were able.
Not being an independent signatory on the plan,
but we were always sitting on the plan with transportation.
Yeah,
and that was county, city, both. We didn't do it. At
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't want to review everyone's plats.
No,
but
yeah.
There, I do Why see not? There's potential for that to be part of the code going forward and something that's taken into account.
Yeah, I think a stronger formalized position is important. And, you know, recognizing that we're a new organization relatively, having just been reestablished, it might be a good time to redefine our roles.
So La Center, I have a project. They have a trail plan. And when we went in, we were told, this trail's on your property and it's going to go in.
Now shall.
And we're putting in a trail. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
And that's Naomi being a big advocate for trails. Right?
Yeah.
And it's in, you know, it's their plan.
Well, yeah, you don't see the bike and trail system plan coming up in any of that planning review.
Oh, no.
No. You used to. You don't anymore?
You, no. Definitely not.
When did it go away?
I remember it like 12 years ago, but it wasn't like we had
left 11.
It was there is a regional trail here, and it was more of a suggestion that we tied into it with our, I guess, our development.
So is what our county doing not the norm of what other municipalities are, would you say?
No, I mean,
I just have to say, good for other municipalities if they are, but I don't think that that should inhibit us from moving towards a vision that we see
right.
as advantageous to our citizens.
Yeah.
And I think that Dave brings up a very good point.
And it does tie in with the whole Deeps thing about the credits and the, you know, and everyone's like, not in the wetland buffers and all that. Well, that's where a lot of the trails go, and that's honestly where people want to walk.
Well, yeah,
walk down the middle of the subdivision.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that we put lots or whatever up against it, in the backyards, and it's forever gone.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot, and, you know, honestly, it doesn't cost a whole lot to put in a trail through the edge of the wetland buffer or on the edge of the wetland buffer without any impacts.
If you do it before the houses.
12 feet to the edge of the buffer.
Yeah.
Or trails.
So there's no impact.
That's what we were doing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Something we should definitely dive into with that.
And I think that's part of, you know, going back to the discussion on long-term, you know, points in the PROS plan.
Yep.
And innovative parks. I mean, both of the, you know, it's almost like a two-prong that we eventually want to be heard. And,
Okay, well, to be continued again. Well, where do we want to start chipping away at this? Like, what should we put as an agenda item next month? Do we want to chip away at this right now, or do we want to...
I think we kind of need to collect a little data.
Yeah, and I think it might fall into the subcommittee's recommendations that come out.
I think it kind of.
I mean, it ties together.
We're talking about that Richfield examples that they sent around for the pocket parks. I looked at a bunch of them. They're about 20,000, which is about the small parks we put in.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, when they say pocket parks, because I was, you know, you and I talked about that. You know, what is the size of a pocket park? Well, this our standard size is they're kind of there. You can call it a pocket park if you want to. You can call it whatever you want to.
Yeah.
But, you know, ours, we called it a local park in our vernacular.
About those, you know, the little ones that we put in developments are roughly about 20,000 minimum, and that gets you in. You can put a lot in 20,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and, you know, bigger, better, but... It was interesting when I started looking at all those ones in Richfield. They were all about 20,000.
Maybe this is where I should enter. What I'm hoping to do is, as putting together a group that prior to the actual doing of the comprehensive plan that studies the opportunities for revenue generating for parks, because we're slowly being squeezed out of the general fund. And I know I didn't offer to be on the vision thing because I don't know how you're going to do it if you don't have money. And I think the real issue we're going to be faced with is how are we going to fund things. So.
Well, that's next. Oh, and that's why Eric's here, to solve all of those problems for us.
I'm really thinking more in new things that force us to generate revenue.
Well, one thing we had discussed is charging out-of-state plates a higher entrance fee into regional parks. This is something we floated about in our agenda meeting because a lot of our regional parks have a lot of Oregon plates. And this is something that could maybe be more politically feasible to get through the council because it's not a tax on Clark County citizens or an additional fee on Clark County citizens, but it could potentially help bolster our revenue.
Except for those ones that sneak.
The Catch 22 is probably 20% of them live.
Oh, of course. Well, I still would like that to be accounted for too.
Can we get a utility bill from you, please?
So something we talked about, and then in a perfect world, I'd take that money and set it aside for trails. Like the money we generate from, I don't know. It wouldn't be much, but at least it'd be a start or something.
So maybe I'd like to make a suggestion. We seem to have three areas to talk about. One is the deep subcommittee, the work, the innovation park, and the revenue, I'll call it a revenue stream, because I agree wholeheartedly we have to create a revenue scenario where you know, the
park. We can dream all we want, but we can't.
Yeah.
It still costs dollars to do everything. When you send out your doodle poll to, maybe we ought to meet as a group, and the board again, separately, just to focus on this, because we're doing this piecemeal, piece by piece, and I think we're, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? We got a big elephant we've looked at, and we need to split it up, and we need to start figuring out how we're going to chew it. Sorry, I don't mean it graphically.
Very visual.
It's an old saying that I
Kevin, do you know what the income is off the concession stand here?
I don't. Eric,
can
you answer that?
Annually, it's probably about $5,000 to $10,000 to us.
That's all?
Yeah. Eric, will you come up, actually,
so we can... Our vendor wandered off.
Yeah, we don't have a vendor now, so we wanted Eric to update people on... Yeah, we've lost several vendors, so that's a problem.
Wow.
And I guess just a couple things before we jump into revenue generation. A couple of things that Bill and I talked about before he left for consideration as we go into the next PROS plan update is, as we consolidate PIF districts, looking at expanding PIF districts into the rural area, he also mentioned a concept of commercial, like PIFs for commercial development, which we don't currently charge for commercial development, as an option. And so what that does to the residential PIF, I think it brings it down possibly, and then that makes the affordable home discussion more favorable. He had talked with Ahmad at some point in the past about countywide MPD type of scenarios to fully get us off the general fund and doing some polling in the near future to see if that's something that the county citizens would support. We haven't pitched that to council yet, but that's something that to consider as well.
Yeah,
I think those need to be brought up as we go forward. They're kept on the list.
Right.
Could we, did we talk about it, Bill, or did we talk about as a group that moving forward with the PROS plan, adding that component of would you support an MPD tax countywide being included in the survey for when we send the surveys out to citizens for the PROS plan? I think that would be easy way to capture that. Yeah. And
well, the last time it was truly a challenge. We didn't win by many votes in the count out this outer area in Vancouver. It just went down the tubes.
Are you talking about the
GCPD in 2005, I think it was?
Creation and
funding. Yeah.
Everything was so positive, and still we won by 26 votes.
Yeah, I knew it was very few.
It looked like it was a no-brainer, and still...
Yeah. People didn't understand, and I think it always remains the greatest challenge, the same as people understanding PIF funding or parks funding,
right.
Is you can tell the story many times over and still have people have all these misconceptions.
Oh, yeah. No.
So finding a better, stronger voice is going to be important if we want to see the MPD pass, because I know we beat doors down, and most people I talked to thought it was a great idea. So where were the votes?
No one voted. Yeah.
So, but it's a good idea. We can't not try.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So Eric rained on my parade a bit with the out-of-state reservation fees when I saw him at this conference. So I'll let you share his. I'll let him share his quick concerns.
I wasn't intending to.
I know, Eric. You never intend to rain, but you do.
So I try to approach it from an operational perspective, how it actually... Could we increase parking fees? In terms of... That's a political question, of course, that any fees have to be approved by council. So they have to go through that process, and assuming it gets approved, okay, well, then how does it work? In parks, well, there are a couple things. One is we don't track... while we do track transactions, the number of transactions per year is about $135,000 for parking fees in the regional parks. We don't track by city, state, so I don't have that data to say to provide with maybe some guidance on that. So anything I can give you would be anecdotal at best, and I'm just not comfortable because I just don't know, and I haven't asked my staff to give me some information to keep an eye out for that. And then what I did in addition to that is I looked at our shelter reservations, because that's kind of how the agenda item's written, to kind of see, well, what are we doing reservations-wise as far as, let's just say, out-of-state, in-state. Basically 10% of our reservations are out-of-state, made by customers with an out-of-state address when they book the reservation.
And that's probably more Oregon than anything?
Mostly.
And let's face it, what they do is come and say, hey, Kelsey, good friend, I want to book Flight Apart for blah, blah. Can you put it in your name for me?
Well, I mean, you could, I mean, if you really
want
to,
just happen.
Go online and enter and you could give us a fake address.
Yeah.
We're not going around and check. I mean, we don't have the capacity to check the address.
Either way, so
the person that makes a reservation. But what happens is the software, you set the software so that it pre-fills. With once soon you put in a specific city, state, or zip code, it'll automatically apply a non-resident fee. Is really what you're getting at, right? So, so just generally we do about 10% in terms of our shelter reservations. I'm sure our parking permit, which I have
more than that,
but our parking permit is probably about the same. Parking fees, again, circle back to that. We only have our data to support it one way or the other. In terms of operationally from the booths, what could be tricky for them is as you know, you've been through a line like at the fairgrounds or something, as you drive up, my staff are in a booth, vehicle drives up and they don't catch the plate right away. They can get out of the booth, they'll have to close the booth to get out and check the plate or ask the customer what's the plate number. It doesn't seem like much, but then when you start, you know, like in Louisville, we make busy days
I would just say, are you an out-of-state resident? And they're going to say, let's say they lie, just be like, oh, you know, we check. I would be nervous that I would still, but I'm a type A person, be nervous if I lied that someone would check that I paid the resident, you know, because the parking fee receipts in the window that I could get a ticket for.
We could have a discussion about how we'd actually want to collect it, but we'd base it either on, most likely on a plate, vehicle plate. Because if someone says, hey, I'm an out-of-state, I'm an in-state resident, people will give you all kinds of stories, like what's true, what's not, here's an ID, here's something. So what's concrete is either a license plate on the vehicle or perhaps a driver's license. But if they're driving a Washington plate and they have an Oregon, you know, there's just some...
in there. Purchases.
There's no gray.
They say yes, charge
$5.
I mean,
there's no gray. Saying out of state
for sure.
There's no gray. And that's like it's the license plate. It's, it is
yeah,
what it is.
I like that.
And that's how we would handle it if we were to do that. I think just kind of initially thinking.
I think we should really look at this in a whole different approach. So our regional park system is uniquely less funded than it needs to be. We ought to look at our unique, our parks, our regional parks, and fund. We got to bring in a revenue stream to maintain those. And if it's from the city or the small town or Clark County coming to that, they're no different than out of state, because really they're not funding those regional parks anymore without the general fund anyway. So I think everybody ought to just be paying in to use those parks. And the time we're going to spend trying to figure out who's there, we may eat up more staff time than it's worth. I think we just got to look at a way to fund our regional park system on its own and not try to figure out one thing or another.
I just don't think the council will let us raise the parking fee.
Well,
think how hard it was to get the
then,
parking.
Then they keep us on the general fund, because are they going to close these parks? I mean, we got to hammer them as much as they hammer us.
Yeah.
And I think if we put a package together saying this is what we'll do to raise revenues, be it more camping locations and revenue coming in from that, or the whole list of things that we might be able to come up with ways to generate revenue. They're not funding it, so it's kind of on our backs to find a way to fund them.
It broke us to have those parking fees taken away and then bring them back. It yeah. just stunted our growth.
It killed us.
It caused,
nobody got to be held accountable for it.
Yeah, it caused needless conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all agree.
Anyway, I'm just thinking.
Here's where we are.
If we focus on our regional park system and how to fund it, that's a big chunk to do.
Yeah.
I believe that neighborhood parks ought to be funded from the neighborhoods, and that's what's going on with what we've got with the parks and PD and the kind of things that we build the parks with. So I'd just like to get into that regional park system and try to make it a really viable system.
So speaking of that, Eric, do you want to give an update on our kind of lack of vendor situation? Like the kayak people at Lackamas?
Yeah, so last year we went through a contracting process and we selected a vendor to operate a kayak step paddle business out at Round Lake, and that vendor has since ceased operations.
Do we know if it's because he couldn't make it or because he's doing something else?
I don't know exactly what the reason was. He didn't give specifics, so then it didn't seem like it was business related. It seemed like it was
more personal related.
Yeah, yeah.
He and his
because there's plenty of activity he has to do.
His business partner or personal partner,
whatever it is, are separating.
Yeah.
Right. So one or the other doesn't want to run the business by themselves.
But it's important though, as far as is it still a viable thing to do?
Operationally, seem like we'd want to be careful about flooding that kind of area with the number of boats and personal watercraft, because the city of Camas also has a vendor on the other side. So there's some consideration there. Do we make it? Sure, $2,500 a year? Is it? You have to ask questions. Is it worth all the time and energy that we end up spending to do that? But I will say, just kind of from a 30,000 foot view, we have these wonderful regional parks. And if you go to any of them, we don't really provide any additional service other than the amenities and the water and things that are already there in the park, right? So if you go to Vancouver Lake, or if you go to Frenchman's or Klein, there are no personal watercraft, there's no concessions, like those kinds of things. Yeah, those are opportunities, but how much time and money are we going to invest and then also get out of it on the other end too? Is $2,500 a year? Maybe, do you talk about maybe setting something up where you have food trucks in each of those parks? How much are those food trucks going to pay? Because certainly you go to Lewisburg Park on a weekend and there's no food inside the park. You have a captured audience. You can certainly work through that.
Well, even down at Kleinline, I can tell you the many times I've gone there with my grandkids, and I would have loved if they had hot dog on a stick or something like that there for them. You know, just because I'm too lazy to fix a picnic before we go. And I'm not alone.
So the challenge on our end in terms of operations is just, to use a metaphor, the juice, is it worth the squeeze?
Yeah.
And in some instances, it just was not. We found that we were perhaps creating more problems than we were solving for a couple extra bucks.
Part of that is a lack of knowledge, Eric. I've always thought that they made pretty good money. I know my daughter works at the concession stand there at H.B. Fuller. And their group, she was telling me that she did the books for them, and they make a buttload of money. So somebody's making it.
I'm speaking specifically about revenue. We're talking about revenue generation on our side.
Yeah. Question is, $2,500 for the kayak vendor, for example, sounds really low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why was it so low?
I was not involved in
that. I think it was the first time that they did that. I know with the tournaments we have at Harmony, the food trucks, we strike a deal with them that we get 10% of their revenue. And then they come back to us with a receipt so you can see what they're making or having. Fairly good idea now. Obviously, there's ways to get around that to a degree, but that was kind of the deal we struck with them. So
Some of them like that, some of them don't. We, you know, and we make X number of dollars when we had the t-shirt vendor there. That was more of a fixed fee scenario than because you have no idea how many t-shirts you're going to sell, but he obviously comes back each year willing to, you know, he's making more than what we were charging him for the time, so.
So what kind of money is he bringing in? Are you bringing 2,500 in, or?
No, we on like the Clash, we brought in with the food vendor, and we have our own snack bar system, we probably brought in 10 to 15,000,
okay,
on a 3-day tournament. I mean, it, but now you've got to capture, you know, you got games every hour. You've got, you know, it's not like a park where you come and go at any time.
But that's 3 days and 10,000. This is what,
right?
12 and
yeah. Well,
if you
but
did, if you yeah, did you 10 grand a weekend at one of the regional parks over the entire summer,
it rains.
But historically speaking, these leases are structured, or sessions are structured in a way that they're providing a service. So
right.
Monetary is almost secondary to the service they're providing in that area.
We probably, from a gross or like a percentage perspective, it takes considerable more work, especially if you're talking about throughout the year, however long that, whatever that time period is, and then you're talking every day, every weekend. So that could almost become a full-time job in of itself.
Sure.
I'd probably lean a little bit more towards like a monthly type of fee and then figure out how that works, because it's much less complicated to try to track, and so you spend less time trying to collect it because you have all that to deal with as well. So but it's something I've kicked around in terms of, do we put, you know, right mix of perhaps food vendors at one location, at each location, or could they rough float between any number of parks? And then the other thing we have to consider too is we do have large events like regattas, races, and those kinds of things where they have big sponsors that write checks for those events, and are they going to want to have our own vendors in those parks? So that's something that those are issues we would have to navigate and kind of sort through, but just considerations.
So are you doing that right now, or what are we doing right now?
We currently do not have anything in place as far as like seeking proposals to have food vendors in parks. That was kind of my intent over the next, here in the spring before summer gets started, but bandwidth is pretty limited, so just trying to get some of those things. Perhaps next week we can get into talking about, Kevin and I can talk about the lack of a lake and replacing that vendor, because there's definitely a need. Like I said, it's pretty clear that there's a need. It's just a matter of, you know, finding what's the number that makes sense both for the contractors, so we're going to, you know, make it attractive to them versus us, like, you know, because then you get vendors and then they're going to start asking for lots of other. Is there power? Is there water? Is there storage?
Right.
There's all these.
Right.
Are they selling items that leave trash behind, so it creates additional maintenance work? Or are they? Is it causing just damage to particular areas in the park? I'm not saying that happens everywhere, but those are just all part of the calculus, so to speak.
Well, Spokane County, King County, and Tacoma Metro all have systems that are working. I think we ought to know how they're handling it. I think there's some pretty major revenues coming in some of those. I've talked to several of those from those agencies.
Okay.
All right, so let's kind of table this for now and keep pursuing other revenue streams for regional parks, like make that kind of a, I don't want to make another subcommittee. Do we want to make another subcommittee, or do we?
Sounds like Kelly's willing to lead it.
Oh, I'm going to propose a 2-month
research period.
Research period.
Okay, sounds good to me.
But not this summer. It'll be when Bill's got through being retired, is ready to come back to work.
Okay.
I already warned you.
All right, so to be continued on creating revenue sources for regional parks. But, yeah, I think we I was so disheartened to hear they're just dropping like flies, and I'm like, no, come back. Do those vendor fees go back into the general fund, I assume?
Yeah, or MPD, depending on which park they're
in. Okay.
But we're charging parking fees again this year, right?
Yes, in regional parks. 3 general fund parks and 1 MPD park.
Okay. And the county council gave us the money last year, right? From what we generated from parking revenues, they put it back in the parks, or they did not? I think that we were told they
did. Does it go into general fund, or does it come into 32?
They did give us that one special dispensation, I think it was. Was it 230K, I think?
It usually goes into the general fund and we don't.
I will research that and let you know.
Yeah.
Laura? Laura might know.
Laura.
The funds are returned to Fund 1032.
So that is the park. That's the parks fund that we manage.
Okay.
Every time we do the budget, we get an inflush of expense authority from the general fund that dumps into 1032.
Okay.
And then revenue that we generate comes in as well.
Okay.
So it helps us so that our fund balance doesn't dwindle as fast.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Wow. That was a lot of stuff, guys. I'm really sorry. That wasn't supposed to
fall. Don't be sorry. This is weighty stuff. This is what we're... This is why I'm here.
Doesn't it feel like it got really heavy, John?
Yes, it is heavy. But
like, we were talking about dog parks, and that seems...
It's also the warmest this room's been in.
Right? I have that, too. I dressed in a fleece, and I'm, like, dying.
I'm just comfortable.
Here, so.
Must be warm.
All right. We'll try to make this next part condensed, unless Kevin has a ton of stuff. Kevin, do you have stuff?
You know what? I have some stuff.
Okay.
I just wanted to give you guys an update on all the projects that are out there. I don't know if you've had that in a while. We've gotten a little bit of progress going on a few things recently. And then some non-progress on a few things. So so Dave asked about Camp Bonneville. So we presented a list. We got a second try at it. We presented a list of names for the Camp Bonneville Advisory Committee to council on, I believe it was April 2nd. A staff report went upstairs. And council decided not to take action on it. They pulled it from consideration that day, and the reasoning that we heard was that they would like to pursue the use of a consultant to come up with concept ideas for the camp that could be reasonably funded before we involve too much of the community in coming up with ideas about what could be done out at Camp Bonneville. So they really want to look at the economics behind it and have a consultant team sort of help us with that before we go too far down the road. And that, so that's just what I had heard from the council's advisor, Lindsay Schaefer, and we haven't had any more discussion about it. So at this point, what we were calling the Camp Bonneville Community Working Group is on hold. So when I know more, I'll let you guys know more. So then just kind of going down the list of parks projects, Phillida Community Park and the parking lot expansion and the inclusive playground, the children's garden playground, have been getting close to submitting for site plan review. We had a pre-application conference recently, and a couple of things came up that our consultant didn't anticipate that we need in addition to what they've already prepared, so that's very close to submittal for site plan review. We go through the site plan review process, and we are looking at construction, going out to bid for construction probably early next year. So it'll be constructed next year. Hawkinson Park Disc Golf Course was submitted for site plan review. We got the not fully complete notice. Those are always fun. And so working on addressing the items that we need in order to get that review process moving. We have officially assigned project managers for Cozy Camp, and for the Curtain Creek Park, Curtain Creek Community Park. So those, and we had meetings with those project managers, and so the process for those parks should start to get rolling.
Who are the, are these contractors?
So these are county project managers that will,
we will have them.
Essentially, yeah, we have the Public Works Department downtown, the Engineering and Construction Division, deliver projects for us. So they'll be moving forward with that. I've asked Eric to
Cozy Camp and what? I lost the
Curtain
second.
Creek Curtain Community Creek. Park. So Eric is really interested in taking what he's learned from this property and helping that influence Curtain Creek, because we did have some sports fields identified as part of that concept. So he's going to be involved as serving as the client for that project and helping to influence the design process. And then Laura is going to help us serve as the client for Cozy Camp. And one thing we did talk with the consultant team for that project is letting them know that we're looking for innovative park designs. And, you know, what does that mean? And so we want to try to feed them with information about that before they come back with the concepts for the community to look at. Lower Daybreak, I think I gave you guys enough of an update on that project earlier in the meeting. Camp Hope is, Dave can probably give you the best update on that, but because their firm is working on it for us. We've run into some issues with the well at the property, and so moving to the next step in terms of submitting for site plan review with the county on that. We're waiting on getting this well, the water system figured out. We're having some problems with the health department. It's it basically has some deficiencies, so in order to be used for the public, we need to bring it up to standards. And then there's some discussion about what type of well system it is and the classification of that and getting through the permitting process with the county and the state. So as soon as we can get that resolved, we'll be able to move forward a little bit further. I think that is it on the parks projects. I had written down some other notes. Talked about the Whipple Creek purchase. Jeremy mentioned we're working on an option agreement with the property owner, and then we're also having the attorneys research, because it is outside of PIF, making sure that we spend PIF dollars on acquisition of the property. So getting a legal opinion on that so we don't have trouble with the auditor.
Steve Dew was working on a project for us. Do you remember what that was?
Yes, Heritage Farm. So Heritage Farm is in the process of doing its master plan update. We had another community meeting, an open house for that this week. And next step is a work session with council on the 24th of this month. So we're gearing up for that work session. And the updates to the master plan are relatively minimal. Kind of the big picture items are making the trail, interpretive trail, a priority, but realigning it so that it opens up the property to be farmed more flexibly. Is that a word? Mm-hmm. And then prioritizing any services and infrastructure on the 78th Street side, looking at how we connect with Hazeldale Park and 68th Street in the future. Those are kind of the big things.
Is there any revenue projection stuff being done in that plan?
Yeah, we're working on that as well. And presenting, we're taking a lot of what, there was a Leadership Clark County team that put together some ideas for revenue generation for that property. And taking that plus what Steve has done in terms of polling the community about what business development ideas, what would bring people to the farm, that kind of thing.
It might be good for us to hear some of that when you get that in, because that's kind of opening the door for setting the tone for the other things that we're going to do later.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm really trying to figure out how to fill Bill's shoes as best as possible. And then I think you guys heard that Jeremy is also leaving us.
Oh, I don't want to make it.
Not
I have a card to shame him. I heard Wednesday, because Eric spilled the beans, Jeremy was going to try to sneak out of here and not say anything.
No.
Where is the round
table?
What?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Traitor. I wrote that in the card.
Whoa. He's going to go. He's going to go to the city, and he's going to get me Kelly Meadows Bill.
In their defense, that's right. From the city of Kelly Meadows.
So Jeremy's last day is today.
This card, sign it please.
And my focus over the next couple of weeks is just to figure out how we make sure we don't drop too many balls.
Plug
the holes as much as possible. That's why I apologized to Eric earlier, because I'm throwing a lot of stuff at him and Laura and other people. And we're really just trying to do as much as we can to cover everything that's been going on.
Which is why I apologize to the auditor's office, because that just fell through a bit too. So, anyways, okay,
that's
thank
it.
You.
Yeah.
We'll miss you, Jeremy. Who's going to run the computer, guys?
Megan,
okay.
Megan,
you'll feel so weird without you there.
Megan, your new chair will be over here.
Okay.
Does Megan know that?
Yeah. Megan volunteered for that. All these revelations happening today. All right, roundtable discussion. I was going to go first just to get Jeremy's cards started signing, but that's been done. So, Megan, you want to go start us off?
Do you mind if I go first? Because I got to sneak out.
Oh, sure, Barbara.
I have school kids to pick up. I just had two things real quick. Number one, at the Parks Foundation luncheon, when you come, even though we get a free seat, remember to bring your checkbook, because they also ask for donations, and a lot of times we forget that. So that's an important aspect of it, because we are obviously advocates. Number two, I wanted to thank Kevin for a very tacky situation, difficult to address, that he helped handle this week. I sent you two emails on this. And I think that going forward, we do need some assurances that it doesn't occur again. It was the Klein Line Fishing Derby, as you're well aware, started today with the special needs kids. And we had requested for the llamas, the therapy llamas that are well known here in Clark County, to be there for a couple of hours. And for some reason, you may recall last year, the question came up and Megan gave a reading that it was meeting complying with ADA. And this year it got turned down again, and it got escalated. I heard from the a group that was putting it on, could I help? And I said, well, not me, but I know someone who might be able to. And despite the fact that it was a hard situation for a man in an interim position, Kevin stepped in and advocated for them. And we didn't hear until the last minute last night that it was finally approved. But I think going forward, we need to take a look at the verbiage around the code that brought question into mind that it was denied repeatedly for over a month before it came to me. So thank you, Kevin. And hopefully Fishing Derby is going well with them there. Thank you for letting me sneak in first.
No problem. This
darn being out of school boundaries and having to pick them up right when the bell rings instead of the school bus getting there makes a difference.
Okay, Megan.
Oh, I was just going to say it's a pleasure to work with you.
You have something else to say.
I do?
Yes, like the sex of debate.
Oh!
The
girl.
A girl. Yeah. The best kind.
Her name is Hannah Elizabeth. Oh,
congratulations.
John, are you pregnant?
I am not. Nor is my wife.
Which
would be quite upsetting if you were. also be a miracle. Where was I going to go? Oh, life estate. So the Port of Kamiswashugal is involved in buying a property right now via a life estate. And for anybody who's not aware of those, the idea is the current owner retains title, retains ownership, and effectively is giving you a low-cost, long-term loan that they carry until they die or move. And it's for the port, it's turning into a really great opportunity to get our hands on a piece of land that we want but can't really afford right now. And I just wanted to throw that out there to see if the county has looked into that in the past and whether that's something that...
We actually have Ari Schaefer. I'm sorry, Kevin.
No, I don't have any experience with it, so...
We've had a couple of land estates.
So we do those.
That was obviously a city manager, but...
Good to hear you doing it. It's just a neat concept, a great way to...
Because
Sue Lynch was talking to me about that.
I've heard of that, but I can't recall exactly what that was, but yeah, there's something.
Could you send me some information?
Right? Yeah.
Dave?
I got my trail stuff out earlier, so.
Okay. I'll try to make two quick things. One, I went to the, I always say it the wrong direction, WRPA?
W-R-P-A.
I want to say WPRA, because it always parks, always comes from a recreation.
Yeah, that's in Cincinnati, it's right.
Yeah. So anyway, I went to the conference this week with, there were several county staff, and it was a really cool conference. I'm glad I went. So if it ever pops up in Vancouver again, the county paid for me to attend. And
oh, I didn't realize that.
It was great. So I took a class on like conflicts on trails between different users, one on homelessness in public parks, and one on inclusion. And it was really cool and really informative. So, and I got a bunch of books about playground design and inclusive playground equipment for our new vision. So, and the other thing was when I was chatting with Holly on the City of Vancouver's board, she mentioned that the city gives their parks board members a city email address. Because if we are ever subject to public records requests, all of our stuff is in our private email. And she said the city just decided it was cleaner and easier to give them county email addresses because besides my kids' teachers, most of the emails I'm sending are park related. But that doesn't mean I want the county coming through my Gmail account.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want the county to see everything either.
So is that something you could look into? I don't know if the board is sort of on board with that or what, but I personally am on board with it, and I would like to explore that.
Megan will look into it for us.
Okay.
I would be very much in favor of that.
I know that with the school districts, serving districts give their board members emails for that very purpose.
Yeah.
So I'll research that for you.
And then I think it would just be easier for the public to also maybe find, you know, I don't want my personal email address published on the county's website, but if I had a county email address, I'd be more than happy to have that up there so people can contact us better. So.
Well, you can actually just email the entire board off of one link.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. The addresses there would be.
Yeah.
Captured.
All right, those are my two things. Jay?
I think we're, and John kind of alluded to this, I think we're getting into some areas that as a board we need to be in some of this stuff. I think Kelly, you were talking about it too. So my thought is, you and I can talk about this a little more, is when you go out with your poll, we may need to have another meeting just to figure out where we want to go. Because again, we're looking at an elephant. We got a lot of things to deal with. I don't want to volunteer for too much, but the other side of the coin is I'm interested in a lot.
I agree.
So
it's a real problem.
It is a problem.
Well, and we've also kind of talked about holding steady until Parks is restaffed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because right now, I don't want to take on a ton of new projects when staff is so understaffed to help us navigate these projects. I mean, I'm just going to be totally frank with
it's
that because I can't take on that.
It's not fair to either side or anybody. So I mean, that's.
appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's very tough, and we want to be good stewards of the parks. But the other side of the coin is, you guys have other aspects of your job. You, Eric, used to be Jeremy, but you got other things, other fires, and so anyway, just bear with us all. But I think, you know, we need to get out of have a separate focus meeting.
Maybe we can add to the agenda of the meeting things we want to focus on as a group and things we're going to set aside.
Yeah, I think we got to prioritize.
Yeah.
Kelly. Firstly, I did go to the WRPA. I didn't go to any of the hearings, but I did go in and see the displays and everything, and I saw a great big picture like this of your family playing on the play equipment at Columbia Cascade, and Steve Kern said, or not Steve, Chris Kern said, you had just been there, but you didn't even see him on there. So.
Oh, well, I actually haven't been there. My mom took the girls there. It could have been my girls, but...
It was.
Well, that's wow. Good to know.
I recognize one of the two. And your husband.
Okay.
Anyway, they did a really nice job of putting a huge display together. I got to talk with a number of the parks directors from all over the state, listen to kinds of issues that they're having, very similar to ours, some less, some more, but all the same. The other thing I wanted to bring up is I will be gone next month. I'll be in Italy, so I will be telecommunicating to the meeting for next month. Part of the trouble of wanting to do everything, having interest in everything, but anyway,
thank you.
Good meeting. Thank you for all the work you guys do.
Sorry to hear about you.
Well, we already let Jeremy talk about for his abandonment. Kale, thanks for coming, Kale. We appreciate having you. Feel free to chip in all, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm not usually this quiet, but I'm just kind of trying to
listen
and learn as to what's going on before.
I just totally want you to know that just because you're not like a voting member, we love the school district's perspective.
Sure.
Like, we want to hear it, totally. Mm-hmm. Especially navigating forward with county schools as inventory, so.
Especially with the issues of schools and cities right now, or communities right now.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
All right, we all good? Oh, Laura?
I presented a flyer to you on the Lewiston Park Trail. We are gearing up for our next round of meetings. Three meetings. The first one in Camas Washougal on May 7th. The second one with the City of Vancouver on May 30th. And finally, on June 20th, we'll be meeting with the northern portion of the Lewiston Park Trail. That will be the Ridgefield location to be determined. But I just wanted you to be aware of these next steps.
What's the goals on those meetings?
So the National Park Service has completed the maps. We met with them, and there were some things we needed to fine-tune. And so the goal is for each of the jurisdictions to pull this out, make sure that the alignment is correct, make sure that we're identifying all completed trails, because people have been busy, which is really exciting. There's been more movement since we started the project. As well as making sure that there's connections and that there's identified points of interest. So I think it's Washougal that may have just received their historic registry on parkland.
Yeah, that was the Ports Park, yeah.
Yeah, so we want to make sure that that's identified. So other things that may have popped up. So that's part of the goals, making sure that we're supporting all of the jurisdictions and creating geotourism, as well as hopefully completing the trail in the next 50 years. I get to be much sooner, but so yeah, we're gearing up for that. And Parks Foundation will also be advocating for funding, so they'll be there as well.
Thanks, Laura, for all your work on that and everything. All right, we good now? All right, that concludes the meeting. Hey, now we get done at 2:30, which was the goal. So, you know, it's just all about goal setting.